verse 19. And that they there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. Now, that, the only way that could be true, that it could be in the midst of the land of Egypt and at the border, is because Egypt was northern Egypt and southern Egypt. And the pillar is the Sphinx and the altar is the Great Pyramid. But it's going to take forever to talk about the Great Pyramid. We may do that next.
No, I want you.
All right. We talked about it being the standard of the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49. Let's go there. Genesis 49. Genesis 49 is where each of the 12 tribes, you get what sign of the zodiac they show on their standard. But we're just going to look at one verse. I mean one of the 12 brothers. The 12 sons of Jacob. Verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And Shiloh is another name for Messiah. So this is it's a revelation of the purpose of the tribe of Judah. You know, the 10 northern tribes all were dispersed back at the days of Manasseh, some 700 years before Christ. They no longer exist. They went all over the world. And they didn't go all over the world, they just got mixed with everybody. The two southern tribes are called Judah, but they are made up of two tribes. Judah, the tribe of Judah, is that protector of the bloodline, and Benjamin was the builder of the temple. So we got the temple and the bloodline that were protected by the two tribes that were left. Now there's no more Jews. Their Jews are gone. Probably the last bloodline Jew died in around 1000 AD. You understand that?
Then who are the ones that they say they are? Who are they?
They're the Khazars. Didn't we talk about that?
She wasn't there.
Oh.
What about the Coptic Jews, the ones that stuck around in Egypt? They don't look much like Khazars.
They're like Arabs. Coptics aren't Jews anyway. The Coptics are Christians.
All right. Well, wait a second. Oh, that's true. But I thought there's a tribe somewhere around there. I mean,
in Ethiopia. But they became a tribe because of Haile Selassie.
Oh, okay. I got it. Never mind.
They were black and they don't look Jewish anyway.
No, they didn't look Jewish, but I was just wondering.
But they think that they're mixed with the Jews.
From Sheba.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, bloodline, a partial bloodline from Sheba, but you can't have a partial bloodline.
Oh, I know, but I'm just, that's what's passed down in culture.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's go to Psalm 18. Again, we're going to see about the lion thing. About Leo. Oh, this is that psalm that's 10,000 miles long. And I forgot that I was going to look up where it said, talked about the lion. I didn't look it up. So in Psalm 18 somewhere, it talks about the lion, but I'm not going to go there. Okay, let's go to Numbers 24. Your assignment is to find where it talks about the lion in Psalm 18 so that you can know it. You don't have to tell me about it. Starting in we read this last time. Maybe we didn't. Seems like we did. And when Balaam, chapter 24, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into an open trance. Into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as trees of lignolos, which I don't know what that is. Anybody know what trees of lignolos are?
No.
Which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. I've looked at that 50 times since I've been a believer, and I always thought to myself, I'm going to look it up, and I never have. In verse 7, he shall pour out the water out of his buckets. His seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Now, you know, this is a pagan saying all this. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. But we know that's the ream. And he shall eat up the nations, his enemies. And he shall break their bones and pierce them through with arrows. He couched, he laid down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And also in 23:24, it's also Revelation.
Numbers 23:24.
Yeah, it's also.
Yeah, I've got the. We did talk about this last time.
All right. It also talks about the lion in verse 24, as a type of Christ. Now, the lion, the two natures of Christ, as the lamb, the meekness as a lamb, but the ferocity of a lion. The lion's characteristics are boldness, self-confidence. He's able to kill and drag away animals five times as big as he is. He can crush the skull of a horse or a buffalo. He can break the backbone of an ox with one swipe. His claws cut 4 inches into flesh. The jaws can crush a bullock's skull. He's nimble and as agile as a cat. He has an instinct for blood. He's a terror of all men and beasts. And he's the king of the animals, especially the human race. You know the human, God calls the human race beasts, right? Okay. To his bride, he's the lamb. To his enemies, he's a lion. That's what you have to see. And the problem is the world sees neither one. So now let's look at some more lions. Let's go to Let's go to Amos chapter 1. Chapter 3.
You mean Amos 3? Or verse 3?
1 3?
You said Amos chapter
1. No, Amos chapter 1. First, I'm sorry, I get distracted in my head. Amos chapter 1, first of all, in chapter 1, go to verse, let's just read it. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the inhabitants and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Now, the word in Hebrew is, it's roaring, where it says the Lord shall roar. It's the word that means shall roar as a lion. Okay? Now let's go to Amos chapter 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now this isn't a metaphor for two people walking together. It's you and God walking together. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now you understand, that's what the word confess the Lord Jesus means. It's confess the Lord Jesus. It's homologio. And it means you have to say the same thing. But in order to say the same thing, you first have to hear the same thing. And when you hear, you will see. And what you see, you will speak. And so you say the same thing as God does. No more looking from the bottom up, you look from the top down, because you're on the mercy seat in Him, and Him in you. And so what you see of the world and what you see of life, you don't have to search it out in the scriptures all the time. You have to confirm it by the scriptures. But since you're seeing from the top down, you will see the same thing. You will hear the same thing, and you will speak the same thing. And therefore the two can walk together because you're agreed. There's no more separation between you and God. Amen?
Amen.
Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no trap is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? It's such an incredible statement. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? You understand what prophecy means in the Bible? The word prophecy in English means foretelling the future, right? In the Bible, it's the Greek, it's a Hebrew word nasa or naka. It means to bubble forth as wine. Now the bride is always the type of the wine. And the, Israel was a parable for, of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And the wine is always a parable of the bride. In order for the wine to have, to be sanctified for use in the temple, and therefore the bride, if you will, it had to go through seven lees. And so the first lee was, you had to crush all of, you got to, everybody got to stomp on the grapes before even the lees started. So you're crushed into bunches of crap. You know, wine is the only alcoholic drink for which nothing is added, is I think. There's no, nothing is added to make it wine, except grapes. And where are the grapes? And so you pour all the stuff from when you stomp the grapes into the first lee. And the lee is shaped sort of like a half of a W with a little flat part on the bottom. And the lee, the first lee, the first vat, it sits there, and slowly as it's heated, and as it's not heated artificially, but as it's heated by the sun, and as it ferments, the wine begins to bubble as it ferments. The process of bubbling up is what prophecy is. It means, and so in us, it means speaking what's there at all times, instead of having a governor on you, as you've had all your life. You speak what's there, and you'll be chastised and made fun of, and but you have, each one of us have denied Christ. You don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. And that deny word, is it's a word for a dam. Well, in each of us, the dam has to break. And when that dam breaks, the Hebrew word for the breaking of the, when the dam breaks and the water and everything in it rushes out, the Hebrew word for that is the first part of Jesus' name. His name in Hebrew is Yeshua. Well, it's made up of two parts, but the first part is Yesh. And the act of billowing out of a broken dam is the Hebrew word Yesh. And so that's what you must do. Now, when you first break the dam, in each one of you, you've got a lot of dead elephants and a bunch of crap that come out. But woe unto you if you don't let it out. Because if you don't, the wine can't be purified. So back to the lees. So here we are. The wine finally starts to ferment. And when it ferments, it bubbles up, and all kinds of crap floats to the top. And then all kinds of other crap, because it's heavier, sinks to the bottom. And so there's a winemaker that is expert in these things, and when he determines the time is, then they take and scrape off all the crap that's on the top that came up from prophesying, and then they carefully pour it into the next vat, which is just below it. Now those vats and that are leaves. And in that next one, he carefully pours it so nothing, so make sure he's got all this crap off the top of it. He carefully pours it into the second vat so that nothing of the dregs of the bottom get into that second vat. And the whole process continues again. And that's done seven times until the wine is perfect. And perfectly fermented with no garbage in it. And that's in order for wine to be used in temple services, it had to go through those seven lees, seven steps. Now, the same is true in each one of us. We have to go, that's what the prophet, you have to start prophesying sometime. You have to start saying what's there. no matter how much it may hurt. Well, I can't say that because it'll hurt your feelings. Well, that's the reason you don't say it. That's not the reason. You don't say it because you're afraid of the faces of men. So you got to say what's there. And then God, He does that trick. God does the trick of pouring out, and then it has to go through again. That happens 7 times in one's life. But unless you start by taking the governor off your head, so I can't say that. People have told me that since the day I started teaching. You can't say fuck. Well, I just did.
It's indescribable.
That's not proper. You know what God's definition of sincerity is?
Here it goes.
I put my fingers on my ears this time. Once
yeah,
is enough.
Your ears, but all we had to tell at dinner. Here goes.
No, everybody thinks that sincerity is really good stuff, right? God's definition of sincerity is sucking on a menstrual rag. Your righteousness is as a filthy rag. Well, that word filthy rag means menstrual rag in the Greek. And you get righteousness because, oh, I'm just being sincere. I'm just saying what's there. Your righteousness is as filthy rag. Amen. Aren't you tired of being a fake anyway? It gets old. Oh, I got to put on this face for these people, and I've got to put on this other face for these people over here, and another face for those my family, and another face for my old friends. And before I was a believer, everybody that's been here a while knows this. I was either chairman or president of 11 different organizations, and I was a different person in each one of the organizations. That's sick. What?
No, nothing. I'm just giving that consideration.
Well, tell me about your considering. You're using that which is cursed to try to gain that which is blessed.
No, I'm just thinking that now you're an aggregate. You're a composite of all 11. For whatever that means.
What, was that supposed to be a slam?
No, I mean, you're well put, Ole, you're right. There's a time in life you put on a different persona depending on the circumstances, if that's what the person's about. But a person who knows that before the Lord, they the very person is, not only what they say, they, the person is filthy rag. It's slime.
Well, you've got to be the same
flesh
in everybody,
yeah,
whether
yeah,
you're
you
prince or a
be
pauper, or whether whoever you're before.
I fully agree.
All right. Now let's go to Hosea.
Hosea, can't you see? Oh, never mind.
That was so lame. I know.
Pretty lame.
Hosea 13. What are you laughing at? What's he doing?
Hosea 13.
He had too much sun.
You got in the sun too much? Hosea 13. Oh. Now, do you know who Ephraim was?
Child of Joseph.
Manasseh and Ephraim, right?
Right. Joseph was the 12th brother, and he had 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim.
Right.
Okay, so Joseph and Levi didn't get any land. So that's how, when they divided up the kingdom, and for the 12 tribes, each got a certain portion of the land. Levi didn't get any. And they made up the 12th, they gave one twelfth to each of Joseph's sons. So, but Ephraim became this really, Ephraim is a symbol.
Were they twins?
No.
No. Ephraim was the youngest, was he not?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was, Ali. He was.
But anyway, Manasseh, first of all, Manasseh became the king that put the golden two golden calves in the holy place in the temple. And he was totally destroyed for that. And Ephraim is considered evil because it talks about the wine of Ephraim, and that's the wine of self-seeking. That's people that get drunk on their own self-seeking. And it's called the wine of Ephraim. But anyway, this is just, this chapter 13 of Hosea is about Ephraim's destruction. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made the molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. And they say of them, let them that sacrifice kiss the calf. You know what to kiss the calves means?
Uh-huh.
It means to worship. That's their idea of worship.
Okay. Yeah, it says worship.
Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of a chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pastures, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Anyway, I'm just talking about lions. Okay. Now let's go to Isaiah 42. We gotta outlaw these little machines in Bible study. Mm-hmm.
Satan incarnate.
Verse 10. Well, let's start earlier than that. Thus saith in verse 5, thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. That's a fulfillment of prophecy about Christ. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And it's not talking about starting a prison ministry. It's talking about you. The real Christ has been imprisoned in you. You understand that?
Yeah.
You've held in prison because of his humility. He could have destroyed you a long time ago. All right. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare unto you. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, Excuse me. I'm allergic to... I think I'm allergic to Tom.
I knew I was good for something.
What?
It wasn't important.
What?
I said I knew I was good for something.
Sing unto the Lord a new song. What is a new song? Sound like? What is a new song? It says that all over the place. You finally sing a song without the I motive. You finally know what love is. Most people think they're in love. You can't be. You can't love someone if you need them, because that just means you're trying to fulfill a lacking in yourself. Anyway, how do I get on that?
Sing a new song.
11. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Now, the roar, again, is that word that means roaring like a lion. And that's how he prevails against his enemies, when he takes on the persona of the Lion of Judah.
So only the dual nature, the bride will never see that side of him.
All right. Let's go to Zephaniah. If you got to Zechariah, you got too far.
I'm already there.
All right, we special. Right, we can push a button. Book B. I've been treating Nick like this for 15 or 20 years. Why'd he come back?
That is a good question.
It's good for
him. He's been treating me like this for longer than that. Why do I stay?
Yeah, Wiley, that's a good question. I've been trying to get rid of you for 35 years. In fact, I've been trying to get people, all the people, to leave for 38 years.
Make that point.
Soon to be 40. All right.
Soon.
Chapter?
Chapter 3. This is talking to Jerusalem that now is, whether it's the Jerusalem that now is, that was over there, but more importantly, if you understand this, you gotta see it's talking to your Jerusalem that now is, which is your board of elders and governors up here, your head, especially in Nix.
That Jerusalem burned down.
Yeah. Woe to that filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the marrow.
Tomorrow. Like tomorrow? Like
till tomorrow, I'm sorry. Yeah. I looked at it and thought, I like bone marrow so much, I thought it was...
It's a wolf in you.
I don't have any wolf in me. I had a pet wolf.
I don't think so. I think you're right, Pete. I bear witness to that.
Here it's talking about judges being evil.
Their prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I have made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction. So their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to thee pray. That's another symptom. Rising up to the prey is when he changes from the lion, the Lamb of God, to the Lion of Judah. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. All right, one more, Psalm 50. This is God speaking. Verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows in the midst of the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked, or the wicked one, God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and casteth my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Though thou thoughtest that I was altogether, such a one is thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forgot God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. And again, that's a word that means as a lion tears in pieces. That's why we're reading this. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. That ordereth his conversation. Conversation is always a metaphor for your way of life. And the only way you order your conversation aright is by total dependence on Jesus in you, the hope and hope of glory. You that he is the way. He's never going to show you the way. He is the truth. He's never going to tell you the truth. He is the light. He's never going to give you light. He will never give you anything except more of himself. Amen? That's why you, and his humility is so great that he cannot occupy where you have a concern. You must empty before him, that he alone would fill the temple with his glory. Amen? Let's just look at one scripture, and we're going to go too far. I wanted to get anhydrous tonight.
Now, you know, if you'd have done a better job of preparing, you might have got there.
I'm going to throw a shoe at him.
No. Everybody needs a little slapstick in their lives.
I like that. So see, that's it. I'm just slapstick. That's all I am.
That's
I
right.
Can be taken seriously.
All right. Enough of that. Isaiah 5. Where does it say the line of the tribe of Judah has prevailed? It's not that long of a chapter. There it is, verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
In Revelation, not in Isaiah. He told us to go to Isaiah.
You did?
That was Revelation.
Yeah.
So we go to Revelation.
We're all looking around in Isaiah 5. Where the hell are you? Okay, Revelation 5.
This is an inexcusable faux pas.
I was just to see if anybody was listening.